Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
And here we go again. Sunshine in her pocket. The Gloss is dancing next to me. Welcome in, Monday Night Delight.
Hello. Good to be here.
Y Jose, ¿cómo estás tú?
Muy bien, ¿y usted?
Yo bien.
We're gonna Jose, I love the music.
Gracias.
Especially in the opening. Yeah, it's good.
Well, Carla's a little hungover, as only she can be. We all know she's the woman who watches every sporting event ever known to mankind. You can do the bowling tour, roller derby, all these things, and you watched every little bit of the
ASG.
NBA. You did the three-point shot, the dunk contest, the skills
challenge,
every minute of the NBA All-Star game.
Sonya Curry's beautiful half-court, one-handed, underarm dunk.
We know where Steph Curry got his talent.
Oh my gosh, it runs in the family.
She was amazing.
She was incredible.
Shot.
And then she can move it. Dance moves like crazy after that shot. It was great.
You know, around sports talk, everyone's saying this is a quiet week or there's not a lot going on because football season's over. But the NBA gave us a lot to talk about. We've got, the NFL franchise tag looming. It's now time for the teams to decide tomorrow whether they want to put a franchise tag on their players. And we'll have lots to unpack on that. Colin Kaepernick is back on the news. We've got all kinds of drama in Pittsburgh. Lots of NFL talk. And when we come back, we're going to get a chance to talk to Dale Murphy. Remember the longtime all-star great
player.
Remember,
how can we forget?
Two-time MVP for the Atlanta Braves. And it'll be a great chance to sit down and talk some baseball with him. Interesting to get his perspective on all these free agents who are still unsigned as spring training is starting.
Well, and Manfred had to answer a lot of questions about that today. And I think that's something we need to unpack. I'm on Rob's side.
You're on Rob Manfred's side.
I'm on Rob's side.
Well, it is an interesting window because you've got lots of these players not showing up to spring training. I mean, Machado and Harper, the biggest names. Keuchel's out there. What does it mean? We'll ask when we come back. We'll ask Dale Murphy, what does it mean not to show up right at the start of spring training? And does that slow you down in your start to the season?
Ask Greg Holland. He'll tell you it does.
It'll be Dale Murphy when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, whatever the occasion is, Gifting Map has you covered. Visit giftingmap.com for great gifts. That's giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right. Well, Carla, you and I have been looking forward to this one. Joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Dale Murphy. He's a two-time MVP in Major League Baseball. Dale, welcome into the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You can read all of Dale's content on DaleMurphy.com. And actually, I want to ask you about this because, well, we've got a program director who's been hovering around. His mouth is watering. He's looked up your restaurant in Atlanta. I guess it's called Murph's. And he wants an order of the Bourbon Bacon Burger. The Bourbon Bacon Burger, is it as good as it sounds?
Yes, it is. No question about it. And get the appetizer, you got to go with the fried cheese curds and then fried okra on the side.
I just gained 5 pounds talking to you, Dale. This isn't good. Good thing I'm on radio. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it's really good. We got a good team there. Thank you.
So this is Dale Murphy joining us. He's a two-time MVP in Major League Baseball. Had a fabulous career. And I'd love to start by asking you about what's taking place right now. Spring training underway. Lots of free agents. Two of the big names, Machado and Harper, not signed. What does it mean that they're not in spring training?
Well, I think it's, I've always said, even, 20, 30 years ago, that everybody says, well, when is salaries going to go down? I said, well, things always happen in cycles, So the optimistic part of me wants to say, things are cyclical, go in cycles, whatever that word
cyclical,
is.
Cyclical, you got it.
And, you know what I mean. The problem we're having now is I think it's just really short-sighted. The money's available. Revenues are way up. It's not really a question of clubs, can they afford players? It's just they don't want to pay them. And I think it's really short-sighted. The stars not being talked about. The only thing we talked about them was where they were going to go. All winter. We lost a great chance, I think, of talking about the game during the off season and generating some excitement. I don't think it's good for the game. People will always say, Murph, you're a player. You just want the players to make more money. Well, that's true. I always do, but I don't think this is good for the game. I know I've talked to people that are in ticket sales with some ball clubs and they're like, yeah, it's been pretty dormant. There's nothing going on. And, I think free agency is what has made the game as great as it is for fans, for owners, and for players. I just don't see the wisdom in stifling this and turning back the clock.
Do you think it has anything to do, Dale, with, because this is the second year in a row that we've had an off season like this with big-time free agents still sitting out at this point in the season or at the start of training camp. Do you think any of it has to do with the analytics and the advanced sabermetrics that are telling these teams, hey, it's not smart to do long-term deals because this is what Machado and Harper and the likes, they want 10 years. They want long-term. Do you think that is affecting the free agent market at all?
Well, yeah, I agree. And some people have said, yeah, the problem with analytics is they've used them to devalue players. It used to be you talk about players and you'd see the value in them. If the owners couldn't afford a 10-year deal, especially with these two guys that are at 26, that'd be one thing. It's not a matter of whether they can afford it. It's they don't want to pay it. And so... If I'm sitting there as a fan and I see an owner or an organization that, some of the teams are not owned by individual owners, as we know, that doesn't want to pay it, to me, I got to ask the question, can you afford it or can you not pay it? What's the problem here? The problem is the analytics have given the clubs the excuse to say, it's not worth it. But I understand that, and I see that. But also, it's not a question of the clubs can't afford it. I mean, I think revenues were at $10 billion last year. Or no, not could it be that big?
No, it's even bigger. I think it's 11 or, yeah, you're right up there. Absolutely.
So, So, you know, and even fans will say, well, you know, these long-term contracts hamstring our clubs. No, they don't. That they can afford them. So it's a self-imposed salary cap. There is no salary cap. Yeah, we have a luxury tax, but you can, that, you know, if you have the money to own a ball club, then I am going to go for it. And I am going to put the best possible club out there that I can. And that means spending money that I have because I own a team. And anything else is just trying to, you know, trying to cut back salaries, which is fine. My point is it's short-sighted. It's not good for the game. And I understand it, the owner's perspective, but if I'm a fan, I'm like, hey, you got the money. Why aren't we going for it? It doesn't hamstring clubs. They can afford it or they wouldn't be in the business. I mean, it's not it's not like it used to be. The TV contracts are huge. The money's available. I don't understand it from a guy that I'm a fan now. I love to watch it. I think it's really short-sighted.
We're talking to Atlanta Brave legend Dale Murphy. You can read him at DaleMurphy.com. So, Dale, I want to shift gears for a minute and ask you about the manager position. You got to play under Joey Torre, who, of course, had a great career. When you look at the managers today, who impresses you the most? Who are the two or three guys that stand out to you?
Well, I think obviously I follow the Braves closer than any team. I think what Brian Snitker did last year and obviously he got recognized for that. I've always been a big fan of Bruce Bochy. And, you know, I think those are the kind of guys like a Joe Torre and a Bobby Cox that, you know, they're just there for their players. They understand their players. They'll take the analytics, you know, and use it, but they know their players. They know the heartbeat of their team. They're personable guys. They communicate well with their players. They trust their guys. They love their guys. And so it's very motivating to play for those two guys. It's just like playing for Bobby Cox. He's in your corner. That's why he argued with the umpires so much, because he loves you. And he does not, you know, he's only thinking about his guys and his team. And so to me, Brian Snitker and Bruce Bochy are two of the guys that, you know, I would love to play for if I was playing right now.
Well, Dale, I think we have to talk about your amazing 18-year Major League Baseball career. 7-time All-Star, back-to-back National League MVP, 5-time Gold Glove, 4-time Silver Slugger, 2-time National League home run leader, 2-time National League RBI leader. Oh, my gosh, like I need a breath to get through all of this. Amazing. And then I see, I want you to talk about a little bit the different positions that you played. So you started Major Leagues as a catcher. Soon you moved to first base mostly. And then a few years later, they switched you to the outfield where you became an all-star MVP outfielder. All of those, so different. What's your favorite position that you played and why, and how mentally, are they different mentally or do you prepare kind of the same?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. I was drafted as a catcher, and anybody who's caught, it's nothing really compares to being a catcher, being in the game, you know, day in and day out, and such a, you know, integral part of the game. I moved to the outfield, and, you know, you can go a few games without getting the ball. So, but, you know, I was moved to first base because my defense catching wasn't getting any better. In fact, it was going the wrong direction. I led the league in errors at first base. And so Bobby Cox said, maybe we should try the outfield. A lot of people say, well, you know, that was so great that you changed positions. And it was, for me, it was, I didn't have a choice. It was like either, you know, I started hitting, but, you know, I wasn't going to be able to play in the big leagues at those positions. So, you know, the move to the outfield was something I embraced. I knew it was coming. And, you know, thankfully, Bobby Cox and the Braves saw that I had some potential, and it saved my career, no question about it. And so if I could do it over again, I wish that I could have stayed at catching, but, you know, it just wasn't to be.
That's Dale Murphy, a legend for the Atlanta Braves. Dale, thank you so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it anytime.
And thanks for the burgers. We can't wait.
Let me know. It'll be on the house.
The bacon burgers at Merce in Atlanta.
Cheese curds.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Dale.
Thank you.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. You got that, Carla?
Got it.
Good. All right. It is interesting to listen to Dale Murphy because in this divide that has now happened between what teams are willing to pay and what the players want to accept in this sort of freeze that exists right now at MLB, I think Dale Murphy came a little bit down on the side of the players. He's basically saying, look, the teams have the money and they're short-sighted for not spending it now. They may be thinking, oh, long-term, I'll regret having spent a money or committed for a big 10-year contract. But he really felt like the team should be more forthcoming with money.
His point about there's no salary cap, so it's a luxury tax.
Right.
You know, and you look at last year, the number one payroll in baseball was the Boston Red Sox.
Yep.
And look what it got them.
Yep.
A World Series championship.
World Series champs.
Then you look at the year before, and you look at the Astros, who ended up as the champions. They were like number 18 in payroll. They went through, in order, the number 3 payroll in the Yankees, number 2 in the Red Sox, and number 1 with the Dodgers. So there's that. So, you know, two different spectrums where you can just, you're in a win now mode, bring on everybody, spend the money and get, you know, buy your championship. And the Red Sox were a talented team the year before as well. But just because you have the money doesn't mean you should spend the money. And what there's two sides to this, okay? So a team has to offer a contract and a player has to accept it. San Diego Padres are offering Machado a franchise record-setting contract.
Yep.
The Chicago White Sox offered him a big, fat contract. The Nationals offered Bryce Harper a big, fat $300 million contract. And I believe the Phillies are talking to him. The Giants are talking to him. They are getting offers.
Hey, Scott Boras says it's not enough.
I know. And guess what? Scott Boras is having season 2.0 that he had last year.
Yeah.
Where he has big free agents sitting out when spring training starts. So I just think, you know, the sabermetrics and analytics, yes, they are telling these teams it's not a smart investment. They're not saying, teams, you don't have the money. They're saying it's not smart to pay them going out 10 years. And let's also look at $300 million, you know, for the in the ballpark for Harper and Machado, that kind of money for them. They are not blemish free. Let's look at the last time we saw Machado in the World Series last year.
Yeah.
Not hustling in more than one series. Dirty play with stepping on people and this and that. Do you want someone who doesn't want to be called Johnny Hustle? You're about to pay him $300 million. Is that what you want to do?
That would be hard to do. The other thing I think might be in play here is there are a whole bunch of teams. When you look at them, you realize they have no chance to win this year. About a third of the teams are basically out of it right from the start. They could go sign a Machado. They could go sign a Harper, and it would not affect their season. They might win 8 or 9 more games. They might even win 10 more games. But that's just not enough to make the difference. I remember talking to one baseball owner who was up in our office just a couple years ago when his team was not very good at that time. The team was only winning about 70 games. And he said, no, I don't think they were winning 50 games at the time. And he said, you know, I can go sign another player or two and spend another $15 million in an annual season. But that probably gets us only 6 or 7 more wins. It just won't move the needle. I'm saving my pennies for when I can get the dollars to be meaningful. And there are a lot of teams for whom spending right now will not make a difference. It's interesting. Las Vegas just came out with the teams that, well, their projections of the number of wins. And at some level, some of the things are obvious. It looks like the Yankees and the Red Sox are going to have a lot of wins, and they're at near the top of the heap. But there are a whole bunch of the teams at the bottom that just are not even in striking distance, not even in consideration.
No.
And when you look at what the Astros did, the Astros had several down years. I'm not calling it tanking, but they had several years where they really knew they could not compete.
They had over 100 losses.
They didn't spend the money. They had over 100 losses. They got the high draft picks, and they built themselves back up that way with young
players.
Through the farm system.
And draft picks, yeah.
And look at those teams at the bottom. So look at Las Vegas's list of teams and how many wins they think they'll have. There are a lot of teams at the bottom who are just out of the rung.
Yeah, so you look at the Baltimore Orioles at 59.5 wins.
So they're going to lose over 100 games. You know, the old axiom in baseball was always that any team in the major leagues can show up and win a third of their games, and any team can show up and they'll lose a third of their games. What happens, the difference in your season is what happens in the middle third. Mm-hmm. You're always going to lose a third. Mm-hmm. You're always going to win a third. But what happens is the middle third. Look at that team, the Orioles, they're only going to get their 60 wins, and that's it. Everything else is a loss. That's pretty bleak.
Oh, it is bleak. And right behind them are the Miami Marlins, who, you know, they've been selling off.
Big
when
rebuild.
Jeter bought the team, they're in a rebuild.
Right.
So that's that. You know, also Detroit Tigers aren't looking good.
Yep.
You know, they fired their manager. Houston took Verlander. You know, they've got things going on there. Seattle Mariners coming in at 70.5 wins. And the Texas Rangers, 71.5 wins.
Okay, so that's the low end of the spectrum. Let's go what Vegas says on the top end.
Okay, I'm going to go from I can tell you about the top five. So Cleveland Indians at 90.5 wins.
Yeah.
And they're always knocking on the door.
Well, they've got a great manager in Francona.
Yeah, they do.
And there were whispers they might even trade Corey Kluber, but they've kept him. So now they've got an ace, and they've got a great manager. And yes, I'll give the Indians some credit for their positioning.
Okay, the next two are in a tie. This is going to surprise you. This isn't even the top heat. At 93.5 wins, we have the World Series contenders with the Boston Red Sox and the LA Dodgers. They're not even projected to be the top winners this year by Vegas.
Well, that's a big setback for the Red Sox, given I think they had about 110 wins last year.
108, I think it was.
108, so they're going to step back about 15 wins.
Now, they lost Joe Kelly and Craig Kimbrell is not signed.
The mystery with them really is, what are they going to do in the back end of the bullpen without Kelly and Kimbrell? I guess the other thing is there might be a feeling that some guys who had really big seasons last year might step back. But on that argument, I could make that some of the young guys who are just coming into their own, like Benintendi, will raise their game.
Goodness.
So they've got some young guys. Rafael Devers, their third baseman, he might be a better player this year, as Benintendi probably will be. So I think there's an argument. Red Sox, the real question is just the bullpen.
And then the top two in a tie are the New York Yankees, who is surprised, and the Houston Astros.
Well, those are two pretty formidable teams.
At 96.5 wins. I mean, they don't have anyone cracking 100.
I mean, the Yanks have definitely improved. They won 100 games last year.
They underperformed last year.
Yeah, they re-signed Happ, and they traded for James Paxton, and they got a good rotation, but a great bullpen. They added Tavino, and, I mean, Zach Britton is back. They're just going to be really stacked in that bullpen. I think the Yanks deserve that kind of consideration. I think the Astros do as well. I mean, the question there is they've lost a couple starters. Charlie Morton is gone.
Oh, I'm going to miss him.
And I don't think Wade Miley replaces Charlie Morton.
We don't have enough of a body of work with Wade Miley healthy to see. But, you know, they've also picked up Michael Brantley in the outfield, which is great. I just worry a little bit about the core four because we have Jose Altuve coming back from knee surgery, Alex Bregman coming off of elbow surgery, Carlos Correa dealt with back injuries and a deviated septum, and George Springer, season-long thumb injury. That's our core four.
Yeah.
And supposedly they're all feeling great and looking great. So as long as that happens, I think we're going to be happy.
Well, they do get the offseason to mend, and medical technology is so good now.
I think
those guys will be ready.
And they're motivated.
I mean, Altuve was limping around the bases in the series in the playoffs last year.
And they never made excuses. So we'll see.
But so they finish. I mean, actually, when you think about the fact that, Dallas Keuchel will not return, it seems – that's amazing.
Marwin Gonzalez.
Yeah, that Vegas gives the Astros that kind of positioning. Well, the highest win total projection of any major league team. That's really a statement about that core four. And frankly, Verlander and Cole at the top of the rotation.
And hopefully they'll bring in, I mean, still not too late to bring in another pitcher at some point. But, you know, they've got Colin McHugh, who will be back in the starting rotation. And then, you know, the five spot will be between Josh James, Brad Peacock, Frambert. I mean, there's a whole load of them that could be doing that spot, which is going to be great.
So. Well, I thought of you when Kyler Murray chose football over baseball because you're a long-standing A's fan. And Kyler Murray, I mean, they invested a number 9 pick in him, and now it looks like he's not going to play baseball.
Right, because at first I was thinking, well, he's basically got to give all the money back. But that's not all it is. I mean, the A's spent hundreds of hours scouting him.
Yeah.
And they spent a first-round pick on him that they don't get back.
Well, the draft capital is really a big
number
loss
9.
And a setback for them.
It's so tough. And you know what's even tougher? So, of course, he's a Scott Boras client, too. You know,
yep.
I'm not feeling the love for Scott Boras right now. But Kyler Murray, his parents, and Scott Boras sat in the room with Billy Beane saying, "We are going to play baseball."
And they believed him and they drafted him.
I
think he had such a good season, there was a change of heart.
Well, I know. And you can't, honestly, as much as I want to feel for my A's, you've got to follow your heart. And when you have won a Heisman and you have done what you were able to do with a big-time D1 football program.
All right, when we come back, we'll look at where Kyler Murray slots into the NFL draft as he's made his decision. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
Gifting Map is your map for great gifts. Head over to giftingmap.com today. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So just when you think it is quiet in the NFL, I mean, Kyler Murray makes his big decision, and it was a big decision, a loss to the A's, a win for the NFL. I think his great season for Oklahoma, winning the Heisman Trophy and getting to show what he can do on the football field, turned his attention back to the sport he loved.
Well, clearly, and you look at what Tim Tebow said about
yep.
it. And
follow your heart, he
follow
said.
Follow your passion. And you know what? If you're he's obviously clearly passionate, and he's uber talented. And, you know, the other thing is there is no development league, no minor leagues in football. You get on a roster, and you're probably going to play, especially if you're a first-round pick, you will play. And, you know, there's not that guarantee in baseball. And as much as I love my swinging A's, and I would have loved to have seen him in the green and gold, I mean, it's not a sure thing.
Okay, it's sort of interesting to look at most mock drafts right now have Kyler Murray going probably somewhere in the top 10 picks. Now, there are whispers out there that the Cardinals might dump Rosen and draft Kyler Murray, but let's leave that as an outlier out there. There are also mock drafts that say the Raiders would pick up Kyler Murray.
Don't be putting that out there.
I don't think they're ready to give up on Derek Carr.
No, I don't
want them
to. I'm
not sure that's really fair. And frankly, to start with Kyler Murray when you've got Derek Carr, so let's set that aside. But in the top 10, he could go to the Giants, the Jaguars, the Dolphins, the Broncos. All four of those teams will be looking closely at quarterbacks. Kyler Murray on that short list. Dwayne Haskins is another one, as well as Drew Locke. A lot of whispers.
And Daniel Jones.
And Daniel Jones,
you
probably
know,
later in the
Duke
first round.
Fierce football program.
Well,
Daniel
Jones is a guy who everybody thinks could sneak into the later part of the first round. But the other three, and knowing the way quarterbacks always sneak up as the draft approaches, I think those other three are going to go in the top 10.
I think they will, too. And it's the Mitchell Trubisky factor. I mean, honestly, another ACC quarterback
yep.
from UNC,
yep.
another non-football powerhouse, in my opinion, and all of a sudden he vaults up to number 2. Was he number 2 or number 1? Number 2. He went behind Myles Garrett. That was shocking.
Right. No, it's going to happen this year as well. I mean, Drew Locke, to me, he's not going to slip below 10. The Broncos are going to take him at 10 if he's still there. But I just don't see him as the 10th best player in this draft. It
well,
just
you
shows
also
the premium
look what the Broncos have done. Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch.
Right.
Big fat contract to Case Keenum. Now bringing in 34-year-old Joe Flacco. Yes, everyone talks about he was a Super Bowl MVP in 2012. But okay. So, you know what?
Well, so let's talk about that Bronco decision. They did bring in Joe Flacco. Mm-hmm. It probably means the end of Case Keenum in Denver. I guess my view of that is Flacco better than Keenum? Yes. Is Flacco the answer? No. ultimately they've got to go get somebody. So they'll probably stretch or reach.
He's a bridge.
That's right. He's the bridge.
He's a one-year bridge.
And the way this contract is set up, they could cut him after 1 year. Mm-hmm. They'll pay for the 1 year, and then he can go with no lingering effects. I actually think for this season, yeah, Flacco gives him a better chance than Case Keenum. But then they still got to go out and get someone like a Drew Lock. They're still going to draft somebody at number 10.
Well, and the other thing with Denver is, do they have the roster, especially on offense, to make a deep playoff run? It's not just the quarterback position.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not. They're not the team they were, which was all constructed to win, and you could slide Peyton Manning in there.
Yes, because Dick Fangio, the new coach, coming from Chicago, he's a defensive specialist,
yeah,
which is great. But the offense surrounding the injury-prone Joe Flacco is very unproven.
Okay, so when we look at the quarterback situation, there's so many teams that have a need at quarterback. We know Nick Foles is out there. Flacco now has a home. Teddy Bridgewater. But there's another one who's just emerged on the market.
Oh, stop.
He's very
you just are getting
wealthy.
Me going.
He's very wealthy.
He is now.
Colin Kaepernick, by most whispers, just made a big payday in the settlement with the NFL. And now his agent has said he would like to return to the NFL. My question is, do you think he's signable now? Do you think anybody's going to want to bring in Colin Kaepernick?
No. No. And I'm going to tell you the number one reason why they're not, people should not bring him in. And I'm going to go back to LeBron James and his comments over All-Star Weekend about how excited he was about this. Let me rephrase that Kaepernick and Reed did not win the case. The case was settled.
Okay.
So NFL doesn't win. The Shield doesn't win. Kaepernick and Reed don't win. It is settled. Let's get this negativity.
And at this point,
on.
To be fair, nobody really knows the amount. Everyone
it's confidentiality agreement.
It may
on
well
both
leak
sides.
At some point. Obviously, if the settlement was $1 million, that's not really much of a win for Eric Reed and Colin Kaepernick.
If it's $60 million,
that's a different day.
Right. But also, that's, you know, chump change to
okay,
the NFL.
Okay. So let's say at this point, we don't really know who won, but Colin wants back in the NFL.
Who believes it when we don't hear it from Colin? And here's what here's the issue with, well, there's lots of issues I have with this. So I'm going to go to LeBron James' comments this weekend. Very positive and very excited about Colin Kaepernick and this being able to move on. And LeBron says, he says, quote, he lost his job because of this.
Mm.
No, he didn't. Let's take you back here. He was sitting on a bench in San Francisco making his $11 million because he lost the starting job, because he played himself out of it. His job was lost before he took a knee. And that's what I think people are not remembering.
That is interesting, because when you think Colin Kaepernick right now, you think two things. You think about his taking the 49ers to the Super Bowl.
In 2013.
And you think about the whole national anthem protest. And really, those are the two memories that we have etched in our mind. The moment that, yes, after the Super Bowl, that he did lose his starting job to, I guess, Blaine Gabbert of the 49ers. Not a very competitive loss there. I mean, Blaine Gabbert is not going on a track to stardom.
No.
So, yeah, there were Kaepernick toward the end of his little run in the NFL was not playing well.
At the beginning of his run, he had a great year 2013. He came into the league, had Jim Harbaugh as a coach, took the 49ers to the Super Bowl, where Jim lost to his little brother, John Harbaugh, in the last-second decision where Kaepernick held on to the ball and tried to do his running when there was an open guy in the end zone. He basically lost that Super Bowl for them. But, okay, let's just not go there, because he was a rookie and, you know, new in the league and all of that. Defenses figured him out. Defenses in the NFL are smart and they're fast. And he was figured out in a nanosecond. So he never again was able to replicate that first season that he had. And so 3 years later, was benched. He was not playing when he did the anthem protest. He had to, and listen, I want to be clear that I really do commend his stands for social justice. He puts money into it. He puts time into it. It's the real deal. But don't give me this, you want to play football. You don't want to play football. And the Baltimore Ravens brought him in 2 years ago for a tryout for a couple days. And do you remember what happened?
You better refresh me.
He obviously didn't get signed. So
no.
At the end of that, whatever their tryout period was, they opted not to sign him. Well, in my book, Steve Bisciotta, the owner and the GM, they looked and they said, yeah, shoot, we see why he was benched. Like, yeah, we can't really use him. What did he do? He and his girlfriend put on Instagram a post of Django Unchained with Ray Lewis's face having Steve Bisciotta, the owner, you know, in a chokehold.
Yep.
Why, as an NFL owner, would you want to bring on a guy when you are the one team, one of the few teams that gave him a chance to prove himself? Obviously, he didn't prove himself. Why would you do that? What if I'm an NFL owner? I say, I don't want my face like that on social media.
Right.
He's more trouble than he's worth. I'm not bringing him in for things like that. Not because he stood up for what was right socially.
Mm. Yeah. So that's, I mean, because there's an argument to be made. Look, in a quarterback starved league, there are certainly backups who have never really played very well at the NFL level. And that perhaps the reason Colin has not been signed over the last year or two was that he wasn't worth the trouble. That while he may be better than some of those backups, mm-hmm. That wouldn't justify all the noise that would come with him, all the noise of his taking a knee during the national anthem. And so the equation just wasn't worth it. It's almost like, yes, I'll take Kareem Hunt on my team, despite all the baggage that comes with him, because he's so talented. But Colin Kaepernick, he's marginally talented. He might be better than my backup, but that's not worth. The talent's not justifying all the noise that comes with him.
And here's the other thing that you bring up a great point about the backups. He would be a good backup in the NFL. He doesn't, A, want to be a backup, and B, he doesn't want backup money. You look at this new AAF that just had its second weekend of play. They approach Colin Kaepernick. They're paying their guys $225,000 over 3 years. He wants $20 million. $20 million in the AAF. He's not getting $20 million in the NFL.
No, but that number, of course, is what a lot of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL are getting paid.
It's not backup money, and right. He's backup talent.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
so
what
there's,
I'm going to say.
That's the dilemma. But, man, you look across the league.
I know.
And there's a real need for new quarterbacks.
But, you know, you see, I think this is interesting. So Eric Reed, the case was settled, you know, with Eric Reed as well, who's the safety from San Francisco who knelt with Colin Kaepernick.
Yep.
The Carolina Panthers signed him last year. He's just now signed to a 3-year deal. You know why? Because he's really talented and he's one of the top safeties in the league.
Right.
If you're good, you're going to get signed. And Eric Reed is not quiet, and Eric Reed says his mind and all of that, but he's got the talent to back it up.
Well, there it is. I mean, there's the talent justifies the noise, right?
I rest my case. But I also say, if to Colin Kaepernick's agent, if he really wants to play, this is what he needs to do. Colin needs to come out and say it publicly.
Yep.
We've not heard any interviews with him. We hear no sound bites. We see little Instagram, thank you, Rihanna, for not doing the anthem, you know, whatever, that kind of stuff. Come out and say, I want to be a quarterback in the NFL again. I've not heard that. Secondly, he has to stop sabotaging other NFL teams like he did with the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm.
Stop doing things like that. Owners don't want to sign your paycheck when you're throwing them under a bus. And lastly, I would say you would have to agree to the anthem rules that are now in place, because the NFL fumbled around figuring that out after him, that, okay, I will stay in the tunnel. I'm not going to kneel. Okay, then you stay in the tunnel.
Yep.
So if you do those things, Colin, you can possibly have a job in the NFL.
Well, it'll be intriguing to see. I mean, this agent tossed out the Panthers and the Patriots, but I don't know what basis he made those statements on. I mean, what that really means, but he did toss those out. We shall see. Let me shift gears very quickly to Le'Veon Bell. He is a guy who wants to come back and play now. Obviously, he held up for different reasons. He is a guy who could really step in and help a team, I think, right now. He's probably the best running back who will be available.
Oh, definitely.
In this offseason. Do you like him for the Houston Texans?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I really like him, especially at the running back position.
Yep.
It benefits you to have sat out a season. You've avoided a lot of contact. You've avoided, you know, a car accident every time you take the field, basically. So I think he's kept himself in great shape. He is a transcendent talent. And I think there's so many hardworking, talented players on the Texans, starting with Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless, Jadeveon Clowney, Lamar Miller, what a workhorse. Nick Martin, he would respect, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, my gosh, hopefully Will Fuller coming back. I think He respects what the who the Texans are as players. He's seen in the short time that Deshaun Watson's been in the league, this guy is the real deal. You know, Bill O'Brien finally has an OC this year that he's going to – I think he can see a real upside with the Texans. And I think he would can relate to these guys. I think they would respect him and embrace him. And I would love his yardage on that team.
Well, and he's also back that can catch the ball out of the backfield, mm-hmm. which would be a great relief valve for Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. who's been under a lot of pressure. But if you put Bell in that backfield, Fuller comes back at wide receiver, Hopkins is already there.
Ooh, it sounded so good.
And then you use some of the draft capital on some linemen, you could build an offense that would be pretty powerful.
No, I would love it. I don't think he's a cancer for a team. I think he'd be great with the Texans.
All right, when we come back, we'll also look at another Steeler player who's making some headlines, Antonio Bell. And whether he'll be in a Steelers uniform next year. You're listening to The Boston Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
This hour of SB Nation Radio has been presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Okay, Antonio Bell is...
Brown.
Antonio. Yeah, we were talking about Le'Veon Bell.
You're combining Le'Veon and Antonio.
They're mixed together for me now.
Oh, my goodness.
These
Steeler
drama queens.
It is the Steeler soap opera.
But Antonio Brown and... Ben Roethlisberger now seemingly at odds. I mean, Brown calling out Roethlisberger as a guy who has an owner's mentality and maybe even too linked to ownership and getting sort of special privilege. This is a bad day for the Steelers organization. I mean, when you think about losing a franchise running back, losing a franchise wide receiver, I mean, if triplets is what got the Cowboys the Super Bowl in the 90s, well, these are two of the three walking out the door in different fashion.
You know, what's sad about as Pittsburgh turns is Antonio Brown is right.
You're siding with Brown over Roethlisberger.
Well, I'm saying that what Antonio – I'm not saying that Antonio Brown should be doing what he's doing.
Right.
Because it's kind of – but they're all acting a little middle school.
Everybody's
right
being a little childish here.
Everyone, right. And what I see
– what about the old keep it in the locker room? I mean, that's not the case here.
It's no. Definitely not the case here. It should be. And honestly, I have to look at management for yep. that. Because I think of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, I grew up a Raiders fan. I look at the Steelers as, you know, one of the pillars of the NFL. Like a traditional, you know, first-class organization. They're acting like a bunch of middle schoolers.
They are in a tough stretch. All right, we'll have to unpack that next hour. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.